Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas.
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all of the Greenspun Media Group titles. Hello, Dish!
Hi, Cats! You're away in Kenya, and I am here and really excited about our show today.
We have up after Josh Bell's movies is Claire Sinclair, star of Pinup at the Stratosphere. So stick around, I know we will.
Viva!
You cannot do that. You cannot give this guy what he wants.
I've dealt with these types of men before. Give me some time. Let me flush him out.
We're talking about the safety of the President of the United States.
We're talking about a hell of a lot more than that, sir.
That's Gerard Butler as gruff Secret Service agent Mike Banning in Olympus Has Fallen. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. A rogue North Korean terrorist group has taken over the White House and is holding the president, played by Aaron Eckhart, hostage. And Banning is the only guy who can shoot enough people in the head and cause enough explosions to rescue the president. The cheesy, jingoistic Olympus Has Fallen has all the freshness of a Sylvester Stallone vehicle from 1986 and some of the special effects to match. I give Olympus Has Fallen 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Admission, starring Tina Fey as a Princeton admissions officer and Paul Rudd as the head of an alternative high school.
Portia, I have something I want to ask you. And I know this is all a bit abrupt.
Yes?
Do you think you have room for one more in your life?
One more what?
One more person.
Admission awkwardly mixes standard romantic comedy hijinks with serious material about college admissions and the possibility of Faye's character reuniting with her long-lost son. It's not funny enough to succeed as a comedy, nor affecting enough to succeed as a drama. I give Admission 2.5 stars out of 5. My top recommendation this week is Stoker, which is opening in limited release. It's the English-language debut from Korean filmmaker Park Chan-wook, known for the movie Old Boy. It's a stylish, creepy story of a fractured family with a great lead performance from Mia Wasikowska. I give Stoker 4 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the star of the new burlesque show Pinup at the Stratosphere. She's a 2011 Playboy Playmate of the Year, one time Betty Page spokesmodel, among other credits, and also was in Crazy Horse Paris at the MGM Grand a couple of times as a guest star. Welcome to the studio, the ever vivacious Claire Sinclair.
Howdy.
How you doing?
Hey.
And I do have to, now, I know we talked about it the first time that you were on, but looking at you, you do look so much like a super, super young Barbie Benton. I know you have to get that all
this
the time.
This is true.
It's just, you know.
You know what? She's like kind of, it's a weird reference. I don't hear it all the time. It's typically only from people associated with the Playboy world who would ever give it to me, because yep. I think she was, you know, obviously relevant in the 60s and 70s. But yep. Right now, she's kind of faded, and only people who remember her from that era.
Well, I wasn't alive back then.
We talked about it
the last time, and different things on Hugh Hefner over the
yeah.
years that have been there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, she's in biographies as well. Definitely,
but they show pictures of the two of them together, when she's yeah. and you do look so
yeah,
much
there
like
is,
her.
Yeah, and so she striking. Was the starlet of the moment for yeah. quite a while in the late 70s. I remember because she was on a lot of game shows.
Oh yeah,
she was on like the Match Game and a lot of daytime talk shows, a lot of nighttime talk shows. She was kind of the go-to starlet, you know, for a period of time there. And you do look a lot like her.
Yeah. It's not a bad person to look like. Thank
no,
you guys.
She was
yeah,
adorable.
She's gorgeous. Yeah.
She had a cute little baby face. Like, she maintained that throughout her 30s. She looked pretty much exactly the same as, you know, through the 60s, 70s. It was a little baby face.
And you're kind of very, your look is kind of, you have this nostalgic kind of throwback sort of style to you, which, you know, is kind of cool too. That it also kind of brings up that reference. And speaking of that pinup, the last time that you were in, you were doing Crazy Horse Paris at the MGM. And so, what happened? I want to make sure I didn't get into, like, people didn't get the Crazy Horses confused.
I'm not the strip club.
Crazy Horse Paris.
All of a sudden I said it, then I'm like,
not Crazy Horse
Paris. I didn't say two. I said Paris at the MGM.
I got the two confused for like 5 visits until I made my way over to the MGM.
Like, could have just been La Femme still. That was much easier to understand.
I lost $5,000 in singles.
So how did Pinup come up after that?
It was strange, huh, John? It was just like like the weirdest thing, because I was actually in Vegas doing a club appearance at Crazy Horse 2, the strip club.
Well, so
21st birthday for Claire.
Crazy Horse was her celebration strip club. Mm-hmm. And Jen, who was PR over at Crazy Horse, she actually, Jen Bradley, she was, you know, going to Frankie Marino's show, who's another headliner at the Stratosphere, with John that night.
I was going to Frankie that night.
He was going to Frankie that
really?
Night.
Really? Oddly enough, you've seen the show? That's
I'm
shocking.
I'm leaving this myself wide open
And I was being very nice, not stating the obvious, like, when has there been a Frankie show that Katz hasn't been at? I could keep
he
going.
He was there.
But I'm
but
going
yes.
to
we
let it
celebrating
go.
Celebrating Claire's
we were celebrating
birthday.
My birthday. It was actually...
They were celebrating. It's a Thursday, so Katz has had Frankie
show. It actually was.
It was a Thursday.
It was the night before my appearance at the Crazy Horse 2.
Right.
So I was at Frankie's show, and I was actually... there during my actual birthday, like through midnight. Mm-hmm. And I met him after the show, and he was talking to me about the Stratosphere asking him to produce like a vintage themed show, and how it was going to be kind of burlesque-y, and, you know, kind of trying to gauge my interest in doing something like that. And I mean, I was interested. I didn't know any of the details. And I'm like, you know, as soon as you get it sorted out and it actually, you know, comes to a point where it's about to happen, talk to Jen, let me know. Let's draft something up, and I'd be game. So, I mean, it didn't seem like something that was like going to happen anytime soon. It seemed like a really loose plan that wasn't definitive until, you know, 2 weeks later, there's actually these drafts being made and it's actually going to happen. I'm like, crap, it looks like I'm moving to Vegas and I'm doing a show.
So you were not living in Vegas at the time?
No, I was living in LA. Okay. I had just moved from the Bunny House actually in March, and this was May. So I, you know, it was like I was making my next steps away from Playboy and trying, you know, I didn't want to be... There are a lot of playmates that I know that just stay at the mansion or stay at the Bunny House for years after their, you know, their reign as being a playmate.
So wait, is the Bunny House different than the mansion?
It's across the street from the mansion, and basically you go to all of the mansion events. It's your form of paying rent. You don't pay rent there, but you have to be at every single event at the mansion.
Now, do you have curfews like they do at the mansion?
No, you don't have curfews. Okay. That's a girlfriend. Yeah. So you have a free life. It's very structured and very routine. Every week you do the same things. Every Tuesday was game night. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday had to be in the movie room for movie night. Then we have to. Yeah,
it he was tweets like, about these things.
He does
now,
every single week. Yeah. You'll see the same event. So it was kind of like I always compare it to. I mean, I loved my time there. Don't get me wrong, and I enjoyed it. The first year was amazing. The second year, I felt like I was in Groundhog Day. You know that movie where you do the same thing over and over again. It was just I was at that point. So that's when I decided, you know, it's time to move. And I left, but I was still working for them as a bunny. And then this opportunity happened. And I'm like, I always wanted to come back to Vegas, but I didn't see in what facet it would work for me. And this was the perfect thing that brought me back. I wanted to be in a show, but it seemed like, how the hell am I going to get something up and running over there? So it's just really odd coincidence that this happened. It's really strange.
And then it came to fruition.
It did. I believe that. Like, I wanted it so bad. And I would talk to Holly about that. I was kind of like, I knew Holly was leaving. Like, when she got pregnant, I knew, like, she was not going to do Peep Show anymore. And I was trying to, like gauge if I could, like, you know, I'm like, is there any spot? Like, do they need another Bo Peep? What's going on? Yeah. So that was before this
happened.
For Peep
Show specifically?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Peep Show, because I didn't want to ask her directly. I wanted her to just kind of, you know, suggest it to whoever runs it. But I know she didn't have much say in that. And that's
she had no say.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatsoever.
And that's why I can't, like, you know, I know she would have hooked it up or she would try if she had any say. Because she knew I was, like, hinting towards it. I didn't blatantly say, like, put me in Peep Show. But I was kind of interested in it. And then this happened literally like a couple weeks after I had a lunch with Holly talking about, like, I want to do something in Vegas. Yeah. I knew she was, you know, her time with Peep Show was running out, and then there's a whole new show now that's mine, and it's not Peep Show, and it's insane.
So now what is, describe Pinup. What makes it different from other?
Number one, we have an insanely phenomenal live band. Like, I believe, hands down, the best band in Vegas. Really good. Headed by David Perico.
Former guest of the show. He's amazing.
I'm a big fan and a good friend of Dave.
Mm-hmm. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. So our band, it really sets the tone for the whole show. When you walk in, it just instantly puts you in, it's a very upbeat vibe the whole show long. And they do covers of new songs, and they also do older songs. That's just, for me, like, when people ask of the main difference between our show and anything else that's kind of in its same vein on the strip, it's definitely that, because it changes the whole vibe and it feels like an old show, because that's how they used to do it. There was a live band there
always.
Yes.
So, and Peep Show did that in the beginning, but then it was, you know,
yes,
then
they did. That's a very good comparison.
When we first saw Peep Show, it was, it, I mean, it, it first it was this incredible band, and it was so amazing. Then it kind of just went to a rhythm section.
Yeah, it went
and
from 10 to 4 to none.
Yeah, and right? then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. we go back literally weeks later, and it was everything was tracked. You know, and it did kind of take away. Now, I mean, I still think Peep Show is a wonderful show, but it did. It's one of those things where you, if you've never seen it before, you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
But you've seen it. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, the live all-woman band. Yeah.
That's awesome. They killed it. Mm-hmm. They were incredible. So, yeah. So
why did they do away with them? That's
horrible. You know, again, it's cost.
Money.
You know, that yeah. the first thing to go is live music. You know, that's an unfortunate thing about the times right now. But
yeah. And the description of Pinup is a monthly a flipping of the calendar with
it is.
Scenes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's,
I was,
it goes
I was
January,
easing
February.
Into it. I'm like, that's my show. Yeah, that's basically it. That's the whole concept of it. It's a calendar. It's like a vintage calendar. You go through each vignette is a different month. So like for October, we have a Halloween sequence where I'm a witch. Then we have a 4th of July with like a really, my favorite piece that I'm wearing. It's a corset. It's a flag corset that's Swarovski and it's really beautiful. But yeah, we go through each month and kind of tell a little story. There's a basic thing, kind of little like I'm the hard to get catch, and our lead dancer Ryan is kind of chasing me around the whole show.
Ryan, who we love from Vegas the show, is so talented.
He is a breakout kind of guy in this show because he was in the ensemble in Vegas the show, and in this show he really
and him and him and Tara Paulcher, who I think is one of the finest dancers, if not that works the strip right now. That Tara Paulcher and Ryan dancing together at Vegas the show was, you know, that was truly a highlight because it was a top male, top female together. So he's incredible.
As Tara is to that show, Ryan is to Pinup.
Oh, wow.
That's how it is.
Oh, yeah. No, he definitely is incredible. See him and we're so blessed to have him.
I'm waiting for press night to go see it.
We don't know when press night is
yet. Yeah, I'm still waiting for press night.
It's April. It's the first week of April, but we're not confirmed on an actual date yet. But, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we had our soft opening and we kind of got to get into the swing of things. Definitely. Yeah. I think considering how little time we had when it was actually all put together before our soft opening, we did really, really good because it was literally we saw it all come to the point where it was an actual show a week before we opened. That was the first time I'd seen it as a show. Mm-hmm. And that's insanity. Like, I feel like people have much more time than that. And that's like the first time we're getting our scripts and the first time we're getting some of the dance numbers. I'm like, oh my gosh, how are we going to open this? And then it just kind of happened. And the first couple days, I feel like it needed help with its transitions.
Well, of course. I mean, that's normal with any show.
Yeah. You know, but
everybody
now,
has its growing pains. Every show has its
it
growing
did,
pains. Like the first
did.
Time I saw Vegas, the show to the show
exactly.
that it became.
You were there.
Is mm-hmm. night and day.
That's what I hope that, you know,
I mean,
from
the
our
talent
soft
was
opening,
there, but how everything, you know, kind of
needed to glide.
Yeah.
And it's just getting in the routine of things and getting used to a lot of things for me. I've never been in a show for more than a week. This is, you know, our third week coming up right now. And it's just, it feels so different. I'm not used to it yet.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a weird existence. Like, you don't live in the day anymore. You're just at, you're living and doing your stuff at night, and that's it. So, yeah, I mean, the show has come a long ways in such a short amount of time.
What's the biggest change from when you guys opened to now in the show? What's the biggest improvement or an area that it's been tweaked that really springs to mind for you?
You know what? There was just so much. There were little things that I noticed because I've seen, you know, from start to finish. But mostly the things that I would hear from everyone is transitions. Like, it was very bumpy. Sometimes, you know, the music, the whole vibe of it, you would sit and you would know that some things needed to be tweaked in the beginning. Anyone who didn't even know the show would look at it and be like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen right there. Like, some of our props wouldn't come out on time. Now it's just, they had to get in the gist of putting things out so fast because during our rehearsals, which were so, I mean, it was 1 week of trying to put everything together. They didn't have, that was the least of their concerns.
Sure.
They were just trying to get the talent together and like, okay, is the dance ready? Does that need to be tweaked? They weren't even thinking about the transitions. So that was a big problem for our first week of opening, is getting that smooth.
So now you're kind of feeling into
it. Now I'm seeing it smooth. Like, it's one night it just ran like butter. I'm like, that's how it needs to be every night.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Well, speaking of, you know, not to bring up some controversies, but at the opening there were some controversies. Lacey Schwimmer, who's good friend of mine who I adore, is, you know, she sent out tweets and made it, you know, sort of clear that she was not invited to the opening and that she only did a few numbers. And originally it was hyped as that she was going to be the choreographer for the whole show. What happened with all that?
When I heard it, I thought it was the most ridiculous thing in the world, because Lacey and Frankie have an open invite to any time they want to be in that theater, they can come in. And they know this because Frankie, you know, he works there and he's there all the time, whether, you know,
his name's on the building.
Yeah, he's got a dressing room right there. It's ridiculous. But I mean, I think it was a lot of misunderstanding. I think it was more seat positioning at the time. Like, he wanted to, but he gave such little notice notification beforehand where he wanted to seat and everything. I mean, it got sorted out and he came the very next week and it was all like, okay, it's fine. I don't know what that was all about, but I'm glad it's sorted out and they know they have an open invite whenever they want to come. Any day, last minute or not, there will be a seat for Frankie Marina, who is the other headliner. He knows this.
Yeah. So. And so now, was Lacey the choreographer of the show? Is she just a couple numbers? Like, how is she listed now? Because, like I said, in the very beginning, we knew it was Frankie Marino and producing it. And Lacey Schwimmer was doing the choreography. That's what, when Pinup first came. And you were starring it.
Yes.
So that was kind of this dynamic threesome that started it. And then it seems like something changed. I don't know if she went on the ship.
It was a very crazy month before Pinup opened. Like, there was a point where we're all just like, is this happening? So I was like, I never celebrated so hard as opening night. I can tell you, I never had a day where I wanted to die the next day after opening of Pinup. But it was just, there was just a lot of petty drama throughout the course of this. I mean, there was a bunch of girls working together too. I mean, there's seven girls here in a small area working nonstop all day, 14-hour days together. And I think there was just a lot of it I don't even know. Like, if I would get a call the next day and like, Lacey's out. I'm like, wait, what? And then the next day, oh, she's back on. I'm like, okay. Let's get this going.
So basically, it was things that you knew nothing of.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And
you're like, if someone's going to teach me the dance or someone's not going to teach me the dance. Either way, I'm learning dance.
I know. as the headliner, and to be fair, you're insulated from a lot of the stuff that happened on opening night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's not your responsibility.
Yeah, definitely.
You've got enough to worry about.
No, I didn't even know. I assumed Frankie would be sitting there.
And the fact of it is, beyond the tweets and who was seated where and how that all worked out, Lacey's no longer part of this show, right?
Oh, no. Lacey, you know what she did? I'm not to discredit Lacey at all. She's a phenomenal dancer.
She's incredible.
She is. And she did 80% of the choreography for the dancer. She totally did. For me, she wasn't there. She left halfway through. So one of the dancers took in for her spot and choreographed. I'm not even dancing very much throughout the show, but what I do was choreographed by someone else. But Lacey did all of the dance numbers. She did a great job, but then she just left, and then there was a head dancer from our cast that they chose. It was Ryan and Sarah Short. Ryan Kelsey and Sarah Short did
also
the rest
from Vegas
of it.
The show, Sarah.
Both of them are from Vegas, the show. Yeah. And they took over choreography, so the other 20% of the show is them. So they definitely deserve credit because it's a couple numbers that they're doing.
And so everybody's wonderful. Everyone's happy. Everything's wonderful.
Now it's amazing.
Because that was, after the first night.
That's a stretch.
It was one of those things that was like the opening night, there's so much, there was so much
that
went out.
Here's why it's important to me. And it's not just because somebody had their feelings. The Stratosphere is bankrolling both of these shows.
Yeah.
And Frankie Zara is not only as someone who was part of Pinup's creation, but as the on-property headliner.
Definitely.
That person, whoever it is, whether it's Claire Sinclair or Frankie Marino or any other performer in either show, has to be accounted for in an event like this.
Definitely.
I was like, that's what I thought.
I had a heart attack when I heard that. I'm like, is this for real? How did that even happen?
And it was a real, and whatever happened in there, that shouldn't have happened.
Okay.
Whatever it was shouldn't have happened if you are in control of your, these are all your employees. This is not a four-wall situation where you have people coming in and out.
Yeah, definitely.
And I will tell you, and I support the Stratosphere for what they've done in terms of investment here.
Yeah, I was.
But
yeah,
they
lost
track of
it was
this
such
event.
A crazy night, though. I mean, everything was like we were all pushing this to happen on a certain night, that there was so much on everybody's mind except for that. We just assumed it would, I'm sure everyone assumed that he had taken care of it, that it would be, all right.
And on behalf of the Stratosphere, not that I represent them because I have nothing to do with the Stratosphere, but I do appreciate the fact, having been here for many years and seen the entertainment in Las Vegas change, that the fact that, and I don't mean to sound crass, but anybody who has some money, if I had enough money, I could rent a room and put on the Trish is Gonna Tap Dance show for an hour and a half. And I could. You know what I mean? I could literally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would lose my shirt, but I mean, well, not literally, but I might have to get an audience.
Then that show would be a winner. Well.
So, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
no, it's not four-walled.
It's very refreshing that a hotel, it does not happen anymore, that you don't have to have some big corporate sponsor paying for you to be in there. You don't have to have a producer paying for you to be in there. They are taking their entertainment and they are getting behind
backing
their
them
100%. Stars and they are paying for their entertainment, and that's what Vegas was built on.
Yeah.
And that's what Vegas Entertainment was built on, and I give the Stratosphere so much credit for taking that on and believing in their shows and not asking people, okay, rent a room, you can do whatever you want. And I hate to say it, that happens all over town right now except for the Stratosphere.
And I think that's why they wanted both of the shows to have that old school vibe because it was what Vegas was built on. It was when hotels used to fund their shows and they used to, you know, they back them 100%. And that's why Frankie has a very vintage vibe. And this show is called Pinup. It's bringing back. Stratosphere is very keen on that era, the 1950s. And they have Roxy's Diner inside of the Stratosphere. And it's 50s
And you have
themed.
A burger named
I'm
after
burger.
Cincinnati
you burger.
And if you're a vegetarian, that would be really funny.
And I'm not a vegetarian. Okay. No, I've indulged in my burger before. But yeah, that's what made me. I was so excited when I signed on with them because I saw that they had this affinity towards the 50s, and it just was a match for me. I'm like,
especially
what
with
other
the Betty
hotel?
Page thing and all that. Like, it does definitely fit your vibe, definitely. Which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. We saw a Tempest Storm in the show the other night.
Yes, Tempest
was in there.
Came.
How was that to perform in front of her?
Tempest is still she's a sharp little lady, and she was a burlesque dancer.
Yeah, I know. I've met her. She's a hot little ticket.
She still comes in with her big vibrant red head, and she will tell me exactly what she thinks is wrong and right with every performance that I do. And with Crazy Horse, I never forget, she gave me an hour lecture. You need to smile. Just smile. You're not smiling enough. Nobody's relating. You look cold. You don't want to be like Dina Von T. She's cold. So she got hurt now.
I love it.
And you know she really cares and wants to help.
She does.
Yeah, like she's not criticizing.
Blunt. No, I know 100%. Yeah. And she calls me and she'll give me her verdict of everything that I'm doing. If she happens to read an article, she'll call me and talk to me about it. She's very on top of, because she kind of feels like she's, you know, she's mentored me since I was 18 years old. I met her and now I'm 21 and she's seen the leaps and what I've been doing. And she definitely has her hand in is in telling me what is right and what I'm doing wrong from trying to resurrect burlesque from the 50s. Yeah. What she
and that
used
has
to
be an incredible thing to have somebody who literally lived through it and who was a success. And,
she was, you know, she's crazy history. Yeah. She needs to write a book, this woman. Like,
she is working on a book.
She should. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. She makes it public knowledge because she dated Elvis for a minute. Yeah. She was with, you know, dated JFK.
Maybe she was
for
Diane.
Maybe she was Diane in Million Dollar Quartet. I have a fun fact about Tempest. I don't know if I've talked about this. She has I know Tempest, and
we've spent holidays together.
Yeah, we spent Thanksgiving together 2 years ago. I invited her over for Thanksgiving. Long
That's
story.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. Her and my mom and all of us were hanging out. Anyway, it was a really, really fun night. But I picked her up, and she has a place setting at her table.
Yeah.
That never moves. It's just set a setting for Elvis. That's on her dining room table. Yes. True. That's Tempest.
Oh, my God. I love her.
Uh-huh. That's,
wait, in case he wanted to drop by at any point back
just,
in the day?
I don't know if it's a seance situation. It's a paid tribute to him.
That's
or something.
Cool.
That's
yeah,
very
that's
cool.
Just to keep that in her. And, she
I've
also
been to
said,
her apartment. I didn't see that, though, when we went. We were filming a burlesque documentary there.
She has a setting there.
Oh, I didn't notice it.
Yeah, you'll have
all.
To ask her about it next time you talk to her.
That's awesome. I'm totally going to. Yeah, that's so cool. What's going on?
No, again, because I'm waiting for press night. I have not seen the show, as I say it again. Now, how I know that Peep Show started out in pasties, and then they went to no pasties. What is the situation?
See in the future?
Yes. Are you guys pasties? Are you?
You're not pasties now.
No, we're completely. We're pretty conservative for a burlesque show. We do get down to some revealing outfits and corsets and, you know, two piece bikini-esque and lingerie, but it's not. There is no nudity in the show.
Oh, there is no nudity.
No,
okay, I did not know that.
Do I see somewhere in the distant future that it could evolve into that? Definitely, I 100% see that. And I'm not, I was completely for it if it was done tastefully. I was talking to John about this.
Because you had done Crazy Horse.
But I was actually in pasties at Crazy Horse. I wasn't nude either because Hef didn't allow me to be nude in Crazy Horse. Yeah, but I did one night, my final night at Crazy Horse on my finale, I went topless. And I thought, you know what? I think it's cool because these people are waiting the whole show for a buildup of seeing some boobs. And that's what they're coming out to see. And I mean, I was in Playboy. My goods have been on display.
Yeah, it's not like it's
not like
something
it's a big
no one's
secret.
Ever seen.
Someone can search me on Google and see them. I think that if it was done tastefully and it's not like they're there throughout the whole course of the show, I think that it would be perfectly fine if in the finale it came down to some nudity at some point in the future. So I'm not opposed to that happening. In fact, I totally see see the show evolving into some nudity at some point or another, or at least pasties. I feel like it's almost like if I were a dude watching the show, like, it's good, it shows everything, but I pull down my corset a little more. I'm like, let's give him a little more. Yeah. Sometimes there's a nipple slip. It's not by accident. Let's give him a little treat.
The non-accidental nip slip. I was
at the show I went to the other night.
That's a hashtag.
Hashtag nip slip. Yes, let's start it up.
Non-accidental.
At the show I went to the other night, the Tempest night, on stage, a house right, stage left, it was almost all guys over there. All guys. And I think it was a NASCAR weekend. You know, everybody was fired up.
Yes.
And I was wondering how they took, you know, how they observed the show. Because I'm at a show, and we're jaded in Las Vegas in so many ways. And one of them is we have a lot of topless shows.
Yes.
Seen them all, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I don't go in needing that. But I'm not here for 3 days from Dubuque either, you know. I mean, they came to see Claire Sinclair, and I was wondering how many of those
and
guys
Katz
left.
And Katz is doing Cats with a Dish right now, topless, so.
I'm in pasties. Now, but I was wondering how many of those guys were expecting to see you, you know, go topless or were hoping for that and left maybe wanting that. And yeah, how much that would factor into the future of the
show.
It's
really odd for me. Like, what I noticed on NASCAR weekend, there was a surplus of dudes in the audience. In fact, they were the most rowdy, amazing audience we've ever had. They were insane. But most of the shows, I'm noticing the majority of our audience is female.
Oh.
Yes. We bring in a huge female because it's a pinup theme. And I think they're aware of the fact that it's not topless. That's what comes in is a bunch of girls. So I see girls nonstop. I don't know if it's, you know, I think they're very satisfied after seeing our show because there's so many different elements that you can't walk away feeling like you just saw a really cute Vegas production and it's everything that you could want in a Vegas show. So I don't think anybody's walking away like, oh, there was no tea.
Well, it always kind of, and I said this to Holly too. I said, you know, it kind of creeped me out that it's like you have all of these wonderful singers and dancers and, you know, Josh is just singing his heart out and all these, you know, wonderful performances. And then literally at the very end of the show, she would take her top off and the entire place would go crazy. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
It bothered me a little bit. Like it was a little like the construction
sort of
work. It was like the construction workers, you know, like on the side of the street, like, ooh, you know, like I was kind of, I don't know why. Like I was like, it's not like Holly's boobs hadn't been out there before.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just like, I'm like, there's so much talent happening. And I'm like, and they're practically losing their mind because she took her top off.
Yeah, because it was the build up. Because they waited the whole show. They thought, isn't this a peep show? Aren't I supposed to see some Holly's boobs?
Yeah, you saw and everybody else's the whole time.
That's why you're like anxious. I was too. I found myself feeling like a perverted man when I watched Peep Show.
I
was on the edge of my seat. I was like, where are they? They're going to do the show without them. And because it's Peep Show.
Yeah,
and
I was a nerd by it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the future with you.
Yeah, I think my question about that is, is it a way of saying that the show isn't maybe working in its intended form when they throw the topless option out there? Because I've heard it argued that there's two arguments. One is people know Claire Sinclair from Playboy, they're going to want to see her topless. The other one is if we go topless, we have admitted that the show can't stand on its own merits.
I don't think it has nothing to do with that at all. I think that it's just kind of making the show evolve. The show can stand. I mean, I haven't seen Bite, but that show was around for 8 years at the Stratosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If that show can last 8 years, I have complete confidence that our show can go for eternity. So I'm just telling the truth. I believe the talent alone on that stage. Like, our dancers are phenomenal and our singer is bomb and we have a live band and it's got so many great elements.
Yeah.
I have so much faith in the show that I think that if we never took that option to go topless, it wouldn't be a problem at all. But for me, I think it would be cool for a year to change up the whole vibe a little bit. Like, let's add another vignette. Let's change things a little bit. Let's make it fresh. Let's make it something different. I like the process of evolution as opposed to just staying stagnant and being the same. Even though it's an adorable show and it could stay this way forever, I would like to see it change at some point.
Well, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, we will go see it. We got to give credit to Autumn Bedil. Autumn Belanger.
Belanger. What did you call her? The Bill?
The Belanger.
Yes.
She's singing it hard, and Dave Perico, the dancers with Susan and Ryan, all these components are really cool.
Amazing.
It's a lot of talent, and there's a lot of talent going on at the Stratosphere, and they're investing wisely in it. So that I'm, again, all about that. And the show is Pinup. It's 10:30, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Yes.
At the Stratosphere.
And Mondays. And it's not Wednesdays, I'm sorry. It's Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sunday, Monday.
Oh, and it goes over to Monday. Okay.
Yes.
Thursdays, Monday. Fridays,
so
Saturdays,
you're dark
Sundays,
on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Dark Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay.
Well, thank you for coming back.
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.